Praise the Lord for that song. Fits very well with the message the Lord has laid on my heart to give this morning. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll have a short reading there. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome all the visitors here. Also, we're very glad to have you. What a blessing to have you with us. I'm going to bring a message this morning that a handful of our men have heard, but I feel it's a message that all need to hear. Oh, I guess it's probably 3 or 4 months ago now that I had a lesson in the ministry class to a handful of the men here, and I entitled the message, Training for the Ministry at Home. And that's what I'd like to have a lesson on this morning, how we can train for the ministry at home. Also, I had the opportunity to share this in Ohio. And an awesome responsibility fell upon each one of our hearts there that afternoon that we had a little ministry class out in Ohio. And again, there were only a handful of us, maybe 10 or 11. But I just thought, surely we would all need to hear a message like this. And this is a little bit directed toward the men this morning. Training for the ministry at home. I'd like to read in Ephesians chapter 4, just as a little introduction here, to explain the direction that I'm going. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, the Scripture says, "And He," that's Christ, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, we could interpret these Scriptures two ways, and they are interpreted two ways. If you ever read commentaries, you'll find two different interpretations. Basically, if you're one who believes in a strong gap between the clergy and the laity, if I can use that term, if you believe in a big gap between the clergy and the laity, you'll probably interpret verse 12 this way, that God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. That is how you'll read those verses. And that mentality very clearly develops the mentality in a congregation that the preaching and the ministering gets done by prophets and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And they're there to perfect the saints, do the work of the ministry, and edify the body. And that's a very common interpretation of those Scriptures. However, if you believe in a priesthood of all believers this morning, you'll read the Scriptures and interpret them this way, that God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry and edify the body of Christ. I believe that that is the proper interpretation of these verses. That God, yes, has set some in the body to perfect the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry so that the body can be edified by all the saints. And we could turn to other Scriptures this morning to show that, but my point is not to prove that this morning, but only to bring to light and to bring to our minds this morning that God would desire that each and every one of us be trained for the work of the ministry. That is not a place, that is not something that you a select few have. It's not something where you send men away to Bible school so that they can do the work of the ministry, but rather that God is about the business of training all of His people for the work of the ministry. And that includes the sisters also, but we'll be directing toward the men this morning. Now turn to 1 Timothy also. We want to look at these verses simply so that we can tie the ministry and the home together, and then we'll go on from there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Now here we see the calling of leaders in the church. And we want to look at just a few of the requirements that God gives in verse 4 and 5. One who's desiring the office of leadership, the office of a bishop, should be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And I'd like us to notice there that God gives a lot of explanation to that one verse. There are many requirements that are given here without any explanation at all. And God leaves that up to us to give the explanation. But when you get into the area of the home, God gives the explanation in the Scriptures. Why it's so important that one who's called to a place of leadership in the church should be one who rules well his own house, having his children in subjection and gravity. Because if he cannot rule in his own house, how will he be able to rule in the church of God? And also in verse 12, speaking about deacons, which is also a role of leadership in the church, it says, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. And then turn over to Titus also. We want to read again the same basic scriptures, only in Titus chapter 1, verse 6 and 7a. Titus chapter 1. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Now my purpose for the message this morning is to stimulate your thinking, to stretch you some, to open up what may be to you a whole new approach to the matter of preparing yourself for whatever God may have for you in the future. I'd like to challenge your thinking and help you to realize that you have a Bible school in your very home. In fact, you have a better Bible school in your very home than you could ever get by going away somewhere and having somebody teach you the Bible. If you just realize what lies at your fingertips in your very home, I think it'll stir you and challenge you to go home and put to practice some of the things that we want to talk about this morning. We can see by the reading of these scriptures that God puts a strong prerequisite in the area of the home when it's time to call somebody into leadership. Leadership is no little thing. It's a very big thing. And it's not an accident that God centers in and puts a lot of emphasis and focuses much attention on the matter of how this leader operates himself in his home. We also know the principle, the Scriptures teach, that if we're faithful in little things, God can trust us with greater things. Every one of us here know this morning that you can take $100 and learn how to spend $1,000,000. The same principles apply to $100 as they do to $1,000,000. The same principles of stewardship are there. And I believe it's the same in just about every area of the Christian life. If we are faithful in something little, God will entrust to us something more. If we're faithful in that which He's given us more, He will entrust to us much. This is the way that God works. A few months ago, a young family man. I think he has four children. I can't remember if it's four or five. But a young family man came to me and was asking some counsel, not here in this fellowship, but he was asking counsel what he should do. He would like to go away to Bible school. He has four children, and he had a Bible school picked out where he wanted to go. And he asked me what my counsel was. Should I go away to Bible school? I'd like to train and prepare for the ministry. And that's a very common practice if you get outside of some of our circles here. And he said, what do you think? What do you suggest? Well, I told him this. I don't think it's a very good idea. I went to Bible school. If you want to add up the schedule you'll be under there, you'll have 6 hours of Bible school 5 days a week. You'll have 8 hours of work to provide for your family and pay for your Bible school. You'll have 6 hours of sleep. And you'll have 2 hours of study. And if you add all that up, that comes up to 22 hours. And then you have 2 hours left for driving time, eating time, and wife and family time. And I encourage the young man that he doesn't need to go away to Bible school, but rather that he should train. If he feels a call to some work of God in his life, that he should give himself to the training for that call in his very home, because he has a beautiful Bible school right there where he can train. So how can you train for the ministry in your home? I have 20 points. Did you realize there were 20 ways that you could train for the ministry in your very home? You don't even have to get outside the doors of your home. And you can prepare and train, and God can prepare you and train you and equip you and empower you for whatever God's work is for your life right in the home. And I have to say, one of my motivations for this message is Ephesians chapter 4. That is what part of our work is. To stir you up, to challenge you, to give you a vision, to stretch you to greater heights, that you might do the work of the ministry. And also to change your theology. If you happen to be here and think that, well, the work of the ministry, that's for the preachers, I'll work my full-time job and let the preachers do the work of the ministry. That's not what the Bible teaches. So, how can we train for the ministry at home? Number one, we want to look at our walk with God. Every one of us knows that if we are not jealous over our individual relationship with the God of heaven, that it affects our home. Every one of us know that. If we are not being jealous, and we are not learning to walk with our God, and we are not walking with an open heaven, a clear way between us and God, something doesn't go right in our home. There's no blessing there. There's no sweet relationship there. There's no anointing there. And things just don't go right. The home is affected when we don't walk with God. And of course, we'd have to say, the greatest prerequisite for any ministry that anybody would have is that you learn how to walk with God. And what a better place than to try that in the very home where you live, where you can see day by day that the atmosphere and the effect that your relationship with God has on everything else that goes on in that home. We know relationships get strained, patience runs thin, we lose our consistency, discipline slacks off. And I could go on and on with a big long list this morning of things that every one of us have seen happen in our home when things aren't right this way. When we let our heart get cold, when we let the fire go out in our own heart, when we let something come between our God and our lives and our heart, we all know it has an effect on the home. Things don't go right. Relationships don't go right. Things don't go right with the children. We don't have the wisdom we need. We don't have many, many things that we have to have in our homes. So, number one, our walk with God. What a beautiful training ground, day by day, to realize that my walk with God is affecting everyone in this home. Number two, in our home, we have the opportunity to lead our family in devotions. Or, let me put it this way, we get to lead a family worship service. Every one of us. We get opportunity to lead singing. We have opportunity to lead prayer. We have the opportunity to lead the Bible teaching and the preaching in our home. We have the opportunity to lead the testimonies, to have an open discussion, to lead our family in confession and burden bearing. All those things in our home. Family worship service. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there sits before you a vital training ground where you can exercise yourself, where you can learn how to discern the way the Spirit of God is moving in a service. Now, it may not be one this big, but it really doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons, and it doesn't matter to God whether there's two or three there or whether there's 2,000 there. He wants to move by His Spirit and lead and direct you in your family worship service, in the singing, in the prayer, in the Bible teaching and preaching, in testimony, in open discussion, in confessions, and in burden bearing. And those are all things that we do around here all the time on a Sunday morning. And you have the opportunity to do it at home. To train for the ministry. Number three, I think of the area of prayer and how we can train for the ministry at home by having an effective prayer life at home. There are many decisions that need to be made at home through prayer. There are many burdens that the family faces at home that need to be prayed through. There are many times that our wife will face a struggle that prayer is the answer for. Many times there'll be needs in our children that need to be prayed for. And many times, children need to be changed. And prayer can change them. And many times the buck stops at us, doesn't it? And you have a child that's sick, or a wife that doesn't feel good, and it's time for somebody to pray. Many times I've had fathers come to me when they had a sick child and ask, What should I do? My child is sick, or my child has a problem with their leg or their knee, or they're having an ear problem. What do I do? Can we have an anointing service? Would you come over and pray for my child? And I'll say it every time. Oh, Father, You be the priest in Your home. You don't need me to come and pray over your child's leg. You be the priest in your home. You gather that little child together. You gather your family around that little child. You lay your hands on that child and you pray that God will heal the child's ears or the legs or the stomach problems or whatever it may be. You be the priest in your home. I would say there have been many a father in this room that was blessed and many a family that was encouraged by an answer to prayer, because a father gathered the family together when there was a child that was sick, maybe with a burning fever or some other thing, and they laid hands on the child and prayed for the child, which I think we ought to do, and the child was healed. What a blessing! That's training for the ministry at home. Point number four, I think of the area of the husband and wife relationship. And the Scriptures clearly teach us that the husband must sanctify the wife. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us literally that the husband should literally wash away the needs of his wife with the Word of God. What a beautiful way to put it. Wash away the needs of your wife with the Word of God. That's what the Scriptures teach. Well, how can we compare that to the ministry? Well, that's what effective ministry is all about. Washing away the needs of others with the Word of God. And what a beautiful opportunity that God has given us, every single one of us, that's a husband in this room and a father in this room, that here we've been placed in a home and we can take the Word of God and use that Word of God and wash away the needs of our wife, and even wash away the needs of our children with the Word of God. And when you've learned how to do that effectively, you'll be able to do that anywhere you go. And if you find out that it didn't go very well when you tried to do it at home, that's the place to face it. Maybe you tried to wash away a need in the life of your wife, and it didn't go very well. Well, that's the place to face it. See, what God is saying is, if you're going to call a leader out, make sure he knows how to wash away the needs of his wife with the Word of God before you call upon him to wash away the needs of the congregation with the Word of God. And what a beautiful opportunity. Sorry, wives, but many times you're the guinea pig on that one. And oh, brethren, how foolish we are if we try to minister to a need in our wife's life and it doesn't go real well, if we just walk away and say she's rebellious. Maybe God is using the very situation to try to train us so that we will learn how to effectively wash away the need of an individual with the Word of God. What a nice training ground. Amen? And I promise you, if it can't be done there, it won't go very well in other places either. Think about discipleship, still on the same point. We know that Christ said to go and make disciples. Well, I think that discipleship begins at home. We need to disciple our wives after Christ. And then, of course, we have all of our children to disciple after Christ. And God says, if you want to call a leader into the church, find one who has discipled his wife and discipled his children and call him to disciple the church. Training for the ministry at home. Point number 5, we have the opportunity to practice faithful financial principles at home. And we know that the Scripture clearly teaches us that if we are not faithful with the unrighteous mammon, God will not commit unto us the true riches. And the true riches, that's the ministry. That is the working out of the ministry in somebody's life is receiving the true riches from God and then ministering them to other people. And the Scriptures clearly teach us, God will not commit them unto us if we have not learned how to handle the unrighteous mammon of this life. So, training for the ministry goes into our finances and right into our homes and how we handle our finances and what we do with them and all the many principles that could be spoken about here this morning about finances. We have the opportunity to work those very things out in every one of our homes. What a blessing. Point number 6. In our homes, we have the opportunity to learn to build meaningful relationships. And isn't that what the ministry is all about? Whether you minister on 1-on-1, or 1-on-10, or 1-on-5, or 1-on-1,000. Isn't that what true ministry is all about? Building meaningful relationships with people. Well, at home, we have that opportunity. How to get along with my son. How to get along with my daughter. How to get along with my wife. How to build a relationship with a son. How to build a relationship with a daughter that's a little bit distant from me. How to build a relationship with a son who seems to be a little bit wounded. How to build a relationship with your wife. Isn't that what the ministry is all about? Building relationships. And here God, in His wisdom, has set us into the setting of the home, and we're surrounded with people in our very homes, and we have to live together. And I mean, you have to live together in the home. There's no putting on the dog when you're around everybody else. But at home, you have to live together. And there is where the relationships are strained and tested. And there is the best learning ground you'll ever find on how to build a relationship. And we could touch many, many different areas here. Because we know it's true, brethren. We offend our children. How do you heal an offended child? We offend our wives. How do you heal an offended relationship? That's all part of building relationships. If you encourage somebody, it'll build a better relationship than if you're all the time correcting them. And all those many things that are involved in relationship building, we have them right here in our home. What a beautiful place to learn. And it's true. Wives, daughters, sons, it's true. You have to bear up under that while we learn those things. It's true. We make the mistakes and you have to put up with some of them. We make the mistakes and you still have to honor and obey and all those things. It's true, you do. But I trust that every father that's sitting over here is desiring to learn how to build those relationships and not just pushing them away. Because I truly believe if we'll face all these things right within the four walls of our house, we can learn all the lessons that we need to learn. And then God will just carry those lessons right out of the home and into the lives of other people. And there we can learn how to encourage somebody, how to correct somebody without hurting them, how to give a blessing to their life, how to go to somebody who's offended, how to take two people that are upset at each other and bring them back together and make them love each other and reconcile them to each other and all the many relationship problems that there are. They're all right in our homes. We all have the opportunity to learn them. Praise the Lord. As children grow older, it becomes a real challenge. As our children become young adults, this matter of relationship becomes more and more clear in our minds as we realize, hey, the children, they're becoming adults now. I can't just tell them to be quiet and do what I say. If they want to know why, sometimes I need to sit them down and explain why I did what I did. And I can't be offended if they ask. Because any other adult would have that opportunity to ask why. Learning to build meaningful relationships has a lot to do with training for the ministry. Point number 7. At home, we have the opportunity to see a vision carried out over many, many years. And this is no little one, because I believe that a man who is called into a place of leadership, who is called into some kind of a ministry, ought to be able to have a true vision. And the test of a true vision is whether or not it turns into reality down the road a few years. If you cannot make reality out of your visions, you're nothing but a dreamer. There's a big difference between a dreamer and a man who has a vision. A man who has a vision is going to carry that thing out day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, and down the road you'll see the very reality of what he saw in his heart. And that's carrying out a vision for many years. What better place to do that than in the home? What better place? I was thinking about it not too long ago as we at our home realized again that another child is going to come, Lord willing. That means I have another 20-year commitment to make. 20 years! That's what it means. Another child is coming to our house. I have a 20-year commitment to make. To guide that child, to pray for that child, to teach that child, to discipline that child, to order that child, to watch over that child's life, and guide him into all the things of life. And 20 years from now, then I'll be off. But until then, I have another 20-year commitment to make. I'm 43 now. That gives me almost 43. That gives me to 63 before I'm done with that commitment. But brethren, that's what vision is all about. And when God says, I want you to look for a man who has his home in order, what God is saying is, I want you to look for a man who had enough of vision when he had these little bitty children in his home and he held these babies in his hand. He had enough of a vision to carry it out and see it through day by day by day by day. You look and see if his home is in order, you'll find a man who had a vision. And you can count that man and trust that man with the visions of the work of God in the church of God. Well, it's all tried out and tested at home. And we have that opportunity to see whether or not we can have a vision that carries itself out for 15 years. Long term. That's a lot of consistency. That's a lot of devotion. That's a lot of guidance, a lot of counsel, a lot of spankings, a lot of all those things. For the man who has a vision, you just keep right on going. So we have that opportunity. Number 8. Training for the ministry at home. We have the opportunity to preach and teach the Bible to our family and to our wives. And every single one of us have the same opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God to our family. And you may say, well, I'm not very gifted. Well, I believe God wouldn't tell you to preach and teach the Word to your children and to your family unless He would also be willing to give you the grace to do it. God wouldn't tell you to do something that you can't do. He's not that kind of a God. He wouldn't put some load on you that you weren't able to do just to make you frustrated and load you down and have a troubled heart. No, God is not that way. God, He gives us a command and He comes right behind the command with the grace to carry it out. But we must be willing to trust and obey, for there's no other way, brothers, but to trust and obey. But we have that opportunity to preach and teach the Bible in our home. And what better audience could you have than your own family? They love you. They're for you. They're rooting for you. They'll overlook your mistakes. You can stutter and stammer. You can forget what verse you were going to call on. You can quote the verse wrong. You can do all those things there. And nobody's going to hold it against you. Not one time. We have that opportunity to learn how to preach and teach the Bible right in our own homes. As I look back over my own life, pondering this point, I'd have to say, I learned how to preach and teach in two places. At home and on a Sunday school bus with a bunch of little children. That's where I learned. At home and on a Sunday school bus. I learned to preach and teach that way. How do you learn? You learn by doing it. You get up there, you sit in front of your family, you open up the Bible, you start to give something, and you see if you have their attention. And if you don't have their attention, you go back before the Lord and you say, Lord, I don't have their attention. How do I get their attention? And God will give you some wisdom. And the next day you try it again. And you ponder that thing and you pray about how you can break the Word of God down into such a way that those children can get it. And you go back there and you sit in front of the family and you have it again the next day. And maybe it goes a little bit better. And then you go before the Lord and you ask God for more wisdom that you may be able to do it. I guarantee you, there's not a brother in this house, if you do that every day, you'd be a preacher and a teacher whether you ever led a church or not. You'd be one. Because God wants every one of us to be able to effectively give the Word of God to our children and to our wives. It's God's will. And I think we swallowed a lie. He's gifted and I'm not. So, since He's gifted and I'm not, family devotions at our house, we read a chapter of the Bible and we pray and go about our business for the day. No, brethren, somebody has to take the Word and break the Word down and apply it to those little hearts every day in a very fast and changing world. You won't get that done if you just read the Bible. You have to be able to take it and break it and give it to them and spoon feed it to them day by day. And if you'll set yourself to train in that way, I know what will happen. You'll learn. Another point that goes along with this, but it is a separate one. You have the opportunity to learn how to tell Bible stories. Bible stories. To take the Bible and make it come alive in the hearts and minds of your children. Every single one of our children needs to have a living Bible, and they need to know those Bible stories. They need to be alive in their hearts, and they don't need to get it out of a Bible story book. Nor from a Sunday school teacher. They need to hear a papa tell them about David and Goliath and tell them what a big giant he was and tell them how brave David was and tell them how David got that stone and he went around and around with that sling and knocked the giant down. Every one of our children need to hear their father tell those Bible stories. And if you'll do it, and do it, and do it, and do it, and realize, I'm in Bible school. This is training. God wants me to learn this. And you take it before the Lord. When you're done a couple years later, you'll be able to tell Bible stories. You'll be able to tell them. You know what I'm talking about. Some can tell them. Some can't. I wonder how many of them learn by practice, the ones who can tell Bible stories. I feel like that's a very vital part of training children. But let's just set the children aside. What about the work of the ministry? Boy, if you can't make Elijah, if you can't make Elijah come alive when it's your time to stand and speak, then Elijah's not alive. And we ought to be able to make Elijah come alive. We ought to be able to take and see the story of Elijah in our minds and be able to say it in such a way that everybody else can see the same story. That's telling Bible stories. And your children are sitting right there and they're waiting on you to practice. Practice all you want. Do it at night before they go to bed. Tell them a Bible story every night before they go to bed. They'll love it. They'll look forward to it. They'll come begging for it. Papa, would you tell us another Bible story tonight? And while you're ministering to those blessed children that God has given you, God will be training you for greater things, who knows what. But He'll be training you. Training for the ministry at home. Number 10. Effective discipline of children. Well, now how does that train for the ministry? Well, ponder just for a moment with me. I believe that we ought to be able to see a need in our child's life, see a need of discipline in our child's life. We ought to be able to effectively take that child, minister that child, spank that child, love that child, and when we're done, have that child just loving us for what we have done. I can't think of a better way to minister the needs of brothers and sisters in the congregation than to be able to take that brother and to be able to instruct that brother and to be able to discipline that brother and be able to love that brother, and when you're all done, have that brother loving you. That's discipline, isn't it? That's discipline. And I believe that you can transfer the one across to the other very clearly. If we develop that tender, loving, patient heart with our children that it really requires in order to discipline them, we will also be able to have a patient and a loving and a tender heart with anyone else that God may call upon us to discipline. Because sometimes discipline is needed. And I guess the biggest question is, do they love you when you're done? Do they love you when they're done? And see, brethren, it's so good for us, because if they don't, then we can face it. We can say, now wait a minute, something's not right. They don't love me when I'm done. Rather than just saying, rebellious child, maybe we ought to say, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe my approach is wrong. And you'll learn from your mistakes how to do it in the right way so that when you're done, they'll love you. And then you can turn around, if God ever calls upon you, and minister the same way to a brother or a sister, if God would so lead that way. Effective discipline. It can be learned right in our very homes. Number 11, we have the opportunity to provide a spiritual atmosphere for our family. And I guess I'd like to make this one a separate point than number one, because it's so powerful and so important. There is a spiritual atmosphere that should be in our homes. One that others can sense. One that the children thrive under. One that others can come into and be influenced by. The spiritual atmosphere that is in the home. I believe that we're very responsible for that. How we walk with our God. How we know our God. How His sweet presence dwells with us. Will have its effect upon our home and either create or take away a spiritual atmosphere in our home. And our homes must have a spiritual atmosphere. One that can be sensed. If it is missing, it'll show up. If it is there, it will bless. It will strengthen. It will encourage. You see, the presence of God, when the presence of God is there, the presence of God will do the very things that God does. Encourage, correct, oversee, guide, give wisdom, and on I could go. We need to provide a spiritual atmosphere for our home. And once we learn how to do that, God may use it someday in other ways. Number 12. In our homes, we have the opportunity to learn how to rule with authority. The scripture here that we read in Timothy, it does clearly say that he rule his own house well. That word rule does mean rule. It has authority in it. There's nothing wrong with authority. But God wants us as men to learn how to rule and exercise authority in a right way. And we have that opportunity to do it at home. Right within the four walls of our own house. We can learn all the lessons about being under authority and in authority right in our own homes. There is authority that God gives. But there is also authority that God gives in a human sense. And those two, you need to learn how to exercise them together. God works both of them to bring about a proper balance of authority in a home. There is that spiritual authority that God puts upon a man. There is also human authority that God gives to the position of man. And those two need to work together in order to rule in our house in a right way. A good word that I like to use is gentle, quiet authority. Gentle, quiet authority. Authority doesn't have to raise its voice. Authority doesn't have to be the boss. Authority doesn't have to exercise control. Authority doesn't need to do those things. There is that gentle, quiet authority. And I believe that God would have every man in this room to learn how to exercise that gentle, quiet authority. Once you've learned it, who knows how God may use it in your life in the future. But it's one thing that we must learn to do is to rule with gentle, quiet authority. Point number 13. We have the opportunity to lead our family by example unto higher ground. The scriptures clearly say in 1 Peter chapter 5, that those who are elders in the church must be an example to the flock, not being a lord over the flock, but by leading by example the flock. And I can't think of a better way to begin to learn that than to realize our responsibility in our very homes, that our example is being watched all the time. And to learn how to lead the family by example on the higher ground. When I think of this point, I think of an enthusiastic father. You know, there's two ways to get your children to fast. You can sit them down on a Monday morning and say, the Bible says we're going to fast, so we're all going to fast around here. Friday is fast day. You got it? Johnny, no food on Friday. Mary, no food on Friday. Honey, no food on Friday. Bible says we're supposed to fast, and we're going to fast on Friday. Everybody got that? Okay, I'm in charge, and that's what we're going to do. Now, you can do it that way, but it won't work real well. I would encourage you rather to do it another way. First of all, if the Bible says to fast, then you fast. And you do it as unto the Lord. And you do it with grace in your heart. And you do it with enthusiasm. And you get the blessing out of it. And you get excited about it. And you sit down at the table on Saturday morning after you've been fasting all day Friday and just bubble over there at the breakfast table with the family and tell them what a blessing you had and what God told you and how God gave direction to your life and how it was so sweet to be alone with the Lord yesterday. You just do that, and probably in a couple of weeks your children will come up and say, Papa, I'd like to try that too. I'd like to try it too. There's a big difference, isn't there? Between the one and the other. And at home, we have that beautiful opportunity to learn how to lead. Just like a shepherd leads the sheep. He leads them by example. I'm going this way, follow me. We're going the safe route, follow me. We're going over the river, follow me. We're going where the green grass is, follow me. And we have that opportunity to learn how that works in our very homes. And think, I'll just carry it one step further. Let's say we did it the other way. And Johnny went about halfway through the day, and he failed. And he was so hungry, he didn't know what to do, so he went and got a cookie out of the cookie jar because he was hungry. How are we going to deal with him? Because I said that fasting was on Friday, and Johnny ate. Now what are we going to do? So different. If instead we just lead by a godly enthusiasm and Johnny says he'd like to try it. And if Johnny fails by noon, so what? Johnny made it till noon. He made it till noon, praise God. Now we're just going to go on and just keep on being example. And Johnny will say, I'm going to make it till 3 o'clock the next time. And I guarantee you, Johnny will make it. He'll make it. We have the opportunity to learn how to lead the family by example, by a godly, enthusiastic example on the higher and higher and higher ground. And once you've learned how to do that, God will use it. He'll use it in many other people's lives. Try the other one on your brethren and see how it works. Try the other approach. It doesn't work very well. Point number 14. We have the opportunity to chart the direction, application, and expression of Christianity in our homes. Every one of us have that opportunity. What a challenge and a beautiful opportunity it is. What do I mean by that? Because we have a family that God has given to us. And this family is growing up in the world that God has placed them in. And somebody needs to interpret this world to this family that's sitting in our house. And I believe that it's the will of God for the fathers to do that. To interpret this world out here. To give direction. To chart the direction that we're going. To chart the applications to this book right here. And to give the expressions that we want for our children. We have that opportunity to do that. And somebody needs to do it. And if we don't do it, the world will do it. Or if we don't do it, their peers will do it. But God's will is that we would do it. And it's not the will of God that the church do it. Churches, the church ought to back you up on it. Reaffirm you on it. Solidify you on it. But it's not the will of God that the church do it. It's the will of God that the Father do it. And once the Father has learned how to do it, who knows how God will use it in later years in His life to minister to other people. Charting the direction and the application. Basically just interpreting this old world that God has placed our family in. Somebody needs to do it. It must be done. Point number 15. We have the opportunity to learn how to counsel. And when I use the word counsel, I mean biblical problem solving. That's what a counselor is. He's one who solves problems with the Word. And we have that opportunity in our home. Many opportunities to learn when to listen. How to help them find answers to their problems. How to give counsel. How to give it in the spirit of counsel. Rather than just tell them what to do. But give it in the spirit of counsel. In our homes, brethren, we have so many opportunities to do that. To learn how to be a counselor. Solving problems. Johnny has a problem with one of his friends. And it's a real problem. And there's tension between the two of them. And Johnny doesn't know what to do. What a perfect opportunity. Sit Johnny down. And hear him out. Let him unload his heart. Just like a counselor would if he went to the counselor. And after Johnny's unloaded his heart, give him a few questions that he can get the answers to. And see if he can't find the answer without you even telling him. Which is also what a counselor would do. And then if he can't find the answer, you give him the answer. But give it to him in the spirit of counsel. Don't just say, Johnny, do this. But rather, Johnny, here's what I think you need to do in this situation right here. You ponder that and see if you won't get some help from that and send Johnny away. You do that. Brethren, do that with Johnny. Do that with Mary. Do that with all your children. You may have two. You may have five. You may have eight or nine. But I guarantee you, if you'll let that responsibility settle down on you as a father, in 20 years, you will be a counselor. Amen? You'll be one. You won't need to go to somebody else. You'll be one. And I believe that God would have the church full of counselors. Full of them. Number 16. We have the opportunity to minister to the individual needs of each person in our home. And they're all different. And they all have different needs, don't they? We have that opportunity. One is strong-willed. One is more placid. One is very enthusiastic. One needs a lot of encouragement. One has a real quick temper. The other one ought to have a little more temper. Oh, they're made so differently, aren't they? All of these children that God has given us, they're all different. What a beautiful opportunity we have to learn to study human nature and realize, now this one needs something different than this one. And this one needs a little bit different counsel than this one over here. What a beautiful opportunity we have to face the fact that they are very different. And I'll tell you what will happen. You learn to study the human nature of each one of your children, and soon you'll be able to evaluate a lot of other human nature also. And when you learn to do that very quickly, you'll be able to minister very quickly to lots of people. Because I'd have to say that's one of the expertises of a minister is he learns how to evaluate people quickly. Quickly. And how does he learn it? Same way a mechanic learns how to repair a car quickly. He does it over and over and over and over again. And here again we have the opportunity, sitting at our very doorstep, to learn how to evaluate human nature and determine what is needed for this personality and this one and this one. Point number 17. Stimulating healthy, godly conversation at the table. I don't know how you feel about this one, brethren, but sitting down at the table at mealtime can be a tremendous opportunity. It's not just the time to sit down and eat, although some may do that, but it really isn't. It's a time where your family is sitting there. Nobody's going to get away. Nobody's going to have anything else that they need to get done. They're sitting right there at that table. And maybe you've been in different directions. If you have older children, some have been away to work, some at school, whatever it may be. Now you're all gathered together again and you're sitting around this table. What a beautiful time to learn how to stimulate healthy, godly conversation around the table. Just by throwing out a thought here and a thought here, asking a question here. And I'll tell you what, you'll learn how to lead conversation if you'll just say, okay, that's a weak point. I'm going to learn how to direct my table at my house. I'm going to try it tomorrow night. And then I'm going to evaluate how it went. And I'm going to ponder it. And I'm going to pray over it. And then I'm going to try it again the next night when we sit down together. Or in the morning at breakfast. And then I'm going to ponder it. And I'm going to evaluate it. And I'm going to pray over it. Then I'm going to try it again the next time. If you'll keep doing that, before you know it, you'll know how to moderate that table unto godly conversation while we're eating. And everyone will go away from that table edified for having sat there and ate their meal together. My mind goes to the example of Martin Luther on this one. He was known far and wide for his table talks. People traveled long distances just so they could be at his house at mealtime because of the table talks that took place while they were eating around the table with Luther and his family, talking, sharing this, that, and all the while having a meal together. Learn how to stimulate and moderate godly conversation at your table. Number 18. You have the opportunity to win your children to Christ through repentance of sin and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have that opportunity. What a wonderful thrill it can be if you have the opportunity to lead your children to faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a little prayer. I'm not talking about getting to pray a prayer. I'm talking about learning how to lead them through repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God would have it that way. Doesn't necessarily work out that way. Sometimes it happens other than that. But I believe that God would have it that way, that you have the opportunity to be able to lead your own children to faith in Jesus Christ. Number 19. Just the general training of your children. Leading them through life's many experiences. Leading them through the trials, the hurts, relationship struggles, challenges. And we could go on and on and on. Just the general training of your children, leading them through all of life's many experiences, can be a training for the ministry. And last of all, the discipline and the character that all of this will bring into your own life is a great training for the ministry. Yes, it's a Bible school. It's a rigorous Bible school. But then I had to think, You know, when I went to Bible school, it was pretty rigorous. It wasn't an easy breeze. It had lots of discipline in it. It had lots of trials in it. It had lots of do it anyway in it. It had lots of stay up late and do it. It had lots of get up early and do it. It had lots of do it when you don't feel like doing it. It had all of that in there. And that's exactly what we're talking about when we're looking at this list. Yes, we have an opportunity to train, and it's rigorous, and it'll rot much discipline and build much character into each one of our lives if we'll just give ourselves over to it. The home is part of God's Bible school. I guess the thing that's the most exciting to me is the fact that God, is the fact that I know that God would have each and every one of us develop in all of these areas. That's exciting. That God would have us develop in all of these areas. That it's not right for us to say, I don't know how to counsel. Let them go sit and counsel with somebody else. I don't believe it's right to do that. It's not right to say, I don't know how to teach the Bible, so let them get their Bible teaching from somebody else. It's not right to say, I don't know how to discipline, so let them get discipline from somebody else. It's not right to say, I don't know how to tell a Bible story, so let them learn their Bible stories in Sunday school. It's not right to say any of those things. I don't know how to wash my wife, so let my wife get washed at church. It's not right to say any of those things, brethren. But rather we'd have to say, God, I fall short of it, but I know that that's what You want for me. And I don't know how anybody could get around that except to fall on their face and say, God, who is sufficient for these things? Let's let it press us into the Lord. Let's let it motivate us this morning as we realize that God really does want us to develop in all of these areas. 20 different areas where you can train for the ministry. And I don't know what God has for each one that is in this room. But I can tell you this. I can promise you this. If you'll learn to walk with God and lead your family in worship and have an effective prayer life, if you'll learn how to sanctify your wife and handle your finances and learn how to build meaningful relationships and learn how to carry out a vision and learn how to preach and teach the Bible and tell Bible stories and effectively discipline and provide a spiritual atmosphere for others and rule with quiet authority, lead your family by example, chart the direction and application, learn how to counsel, minister to the individual needs of the family, stimulate godly conversation, God will use you. I don't care who you are. God will use you. He'll pick you up and use you for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. God will do it. If you'll just face these things and begin to grow and learn and minister and see them worked out in your homes, I promise you, you develop in these things and God will use you in other areas outside of your home. Shall we kneel together in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, You know best. Your wisdom, it supersedes all other wisdom. Oh, Father, we don't see the Bible schools in the Bible. We don't see them, Lord. And here we can see so clearly, You've given every one of the men, every one of us, Father, a Bible school. You've given us a way. You've given us a training ground, oh Lord, that's so much better than the other. It's one thing to sit in a classroom and learn some things about the Bible. It's another thing to learn all of these very effective ministering abilities, God. Oh Lord, I just thank You for the wisdom and how You've tied this Bible so clearly together.
and you've tied our lives so clearly together. Lord, I pray, let it be so. Let these men be prepared for the work of the ministry under the edifying of the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you'll take this message and stimulate our hearts and our thinking. God, I pray that some men in this room today will get into Bible school. Lord, in a very real way, by an effective choice in their own minds, they'll get into Bible school, the one that's in their very home, tomorrow morning. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the further service. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.